हरे हरे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय I would like to read an excerpt, short one, from the Mahabharata, which will then segue into the verse from Bhagavad Gita that I'd like to speak about. This particular sequence is after the 13 years the Pandavas had been in exile. The final year, the 13th year, they had to live incognito, which they did in the kingdom of Matsya, under the kingdom of Virata, King Virat. So the agreement was, because they had lost the gambling match twice, and the second one meant that they had to go to exile, but the agreement was that after 13 years, the Pandavas would get their half of the kingdom known as Indraprastha. Their cousin brothers, the Kauravas, would continue to rule Hastinapur. But what happened was, Dhritarashtra, because of his blind affection for his son Duryodhan, did not agree to keep their promise. And at one point, Duryodhan, who is such an arrogant fool, Duryodhan said, I will not give those Pandavas even the amount of land that fits on a needle. The Pandavas would be happy just with 5 villages. Not to speak the kingdom, but just 5. But no. Duryodhan could not live with the Pandavas. So, Yudhishthira and his brothers, and by this time Krishna, has arrived in Virat to help the Pandavas. And Krishna is about to go to Hastinapur to propose peace. So, this incident is just before Krishna is going to go to Hastinapur and plead the case that the righteous thing to do, the proper thing to do, the decision that should be made is that Dhritarashtra should give half of the kingdom which was promised back to the Pandavas. So let's see now this scene. Krishna turned to Arjuna. What is your view, O Dhananjay? I shall leave at dawn for Hastinapur. Do you have any final thoughts? Arjuna had been silently taking everything in. He looked around the great hall. The many kings and Brahmins present looked back at him as he began to speak. So this is in Virat, where the Pandavas and Krishna are stationed. I think Yudhishthira has said all that needs to be said, O Janardhan. Can everybody say that name? Janardhan is another name for Krishna. It has different meanings, killer of the demons, maintainer of the universe. But it seems to me that you do not see peace as being easily obtained, owing either to Dhritarashtra's avarice or to our weakness. You consider also that man's desires are useless unless attended by action, that one should not simply depend on destiny. So this is the key line that I'm going to talk about I'll repeat that. So Arjuna is saying, Krishna, you also agree that man's desires are useless unless attended by action. One should not simply depend on destiny. Having stated his understanding of Krishna's speech, Arjuna gave his response. I am in agreement. In my opinion, O Keshava, can you all say that name of Krishna? Keshava is another name. It has three meanings. Keshava means Krishna once killed the horse demon sent by Kamsa. That was Keshi. Then another meaning of Keshava is that the nature of Krishna's hair is very, very fine. Nice, fine hair. And then the third meaning is that Krishna is the controller of even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Ka-isha. So this is the three meanings of the word Keshava. Can you one more time say? There is nothing unattainable to one who acts in knowledge. I know you to be the best well-wisher of both ourselves and the Kurus. Whatever you decide, I will accept. If peace is desired by you, then it shall be so. And if you desire war, then I am ready to fight. Arjuna then paused. His hand rested on the long sword by his side. Surely he had been born only to wield weapons in combat. Arjuna could not honestly see any chance of peace, even with Krishna going to Hastinapur. Despite his power, Krishna, this is also a very important point that will be brought up in the Bhagavad Gita verse. Listen to this. Krishna never compelled others to act against their own desires. He would offer them wisdom, present logic and reason, but in the end, everything would depend upon Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana's free will. Very important. There was nothing to indicate that they would respond favorably. In all probability, Krishna would return insulted. Arjuna's voice rose in anger as he thought about it. Without doubt, the evil-minded Duryodhana deserves to die. He and his brothers cruelly and deceitfully robbed us of our kingdom and insulted the innocent Draupadi. I cannot see him accepting any good counsel. Your words, Krishna, will be like throwing seeds on barren land. If you think he should be destroyed, then do it at once, O Lord, for there is nothing to be considered in this matter. Otherwise, let there be battle. What Kshatriya would turn away from such a fight, even if death snares down upon him? Krishna nodded slowly. It is exactly as you say, Arjuna. Peace and war both lie in my hands, but I will not force either. Even the divine agency, which causes the results of actions, allows men their free choice. When Krishna is saying here, the divine agency, he's talking about himself in the third person. He's the divine agency. But notice what he says. Allows men their free choice. Every man must accept the consequences of his own actions. blinded by attachment, men do not see the final results of their acts. But the divine power always brings about those results. I will convey in full Yudhisthira's message to the Kurus. As you say, Arjuna, Yudhisthira has already said everything that should be said. Duryodhan is likely to be too vicious to accept my advice. He is unable to part even a tiny piece of land for a brief period. Thus there will be war, and you will be required to fight Bibhatsu. Bibhatsu is, Arjuna has, I think, 10 or 9 names. So this is another name for Arjuna, Bibhatsu. Fix your mind on battle, for whomever you determine to defeat is already vanquished. For my part, I desire to do whatever is good for Dharmaraj. That's another name for Yudhisthira. I will always follow the instructions of that pious king, and I will also duly consider Duryodhan's wicked acts. So that's the excerpts, and I've highlighted the key lines there. So now, let us go to the Bhagavad Gita verse. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. So this verse appears towards the end of the Bhagavad Gita. This is the 18th chapter. And Krishna is making his closing arguments, a lawyer, in the law court. He gives his closing arguments. Those closing arguments are meant to convince the jury of his side of the position. So when the lawyer makes the closing arguments, supposed to be tight, no leeway, ironclad, you should convict or you should not convict based on these reasons. So also in Bhagavad Gita, towards the end, Krishna gives his closing arguments. Iti te jnana makyatang guyad guyatrang maya vrimishyaita dashena yate chasi tata kuru. That's the main line. Let's all do this. Please repeat. Yate chasi tata kuru. Yate chasi tata kuru. One more time. Yate chasi tata kuru. Krishna says, thus I have explained to you knowledge still more confidential. Deliberate on this fully and then do what you wish to do. That's the meaning of yate chasi tata kuru. As you like, you do. As was pointed out, Krishna said, I do not interfere with free will. So, Krishna says in this verse, I have explained things still more confidential because there are 3 levels of confidential knowledge in Bhagavad Gita. Right from the beginning of Krishna's instructions, he gives confidential knowledge. You're not the body. You're not your mind. That is confidential knowledge. You don't hear that on Fox Noise, do you? No, you don't hear that. So this is confidential knowledge, which you find in Bhagavad Gita. You're not that body. You're not who you see in the mirror. Thank God. When you're young, you think, oh, that's very nice. But when you get old, by Krishna saying, that's not you. That's confidential knowledge. Then there's more confidential knowledge, knowledge of super soul. That's more confidential knowledge. Not only is there a soul in the body, but there is another soul, super soul, who is your best friend. You have no better friend than he who dwells in your heart. Super soul, Krishna, God himself, also is in your heart. And it's the same Krishna in everybody's heart. Not that my Krishna is different than yours. No, it's the same Krishna. And then there is most confidential knowledge. Knowledge of devotional service. Knowledge of love of God. So these are the three levels of confidential knowledge. Now Krishna says, because this is chapter 18, Krishna began his instructions in chapter 2. So chapter after chapter, Krishna has been answering Arjuna's questions. The questions began when Arjuna said, I'm confused. I don't know what I should do at this crucial moment. You kindly instruct me. That's when the Bhagavad Gita actually begins. Again, Krishna didn't interfere. Krishna was Arjuna's chariot driver. In chapter 1, Arjuna says to Krishna, drive my chariot, I want to see who has come. Krishna, being the perfect chauffeur, drives the chariot and says, here they are. That's all Krishna says. He's not interfering. But when Arjuna sees who he has to fight, he becomes overwhelmed. Finally, he surrenders. Now you please instruct me. Then Krishna begins, oh, you want me to be your guru? Oh, that's different. No more friend now. Now I'm Gurudev. Now I'm going to chastise you. And that's what Krishna does. Chastises him. And begins instructing. But now, he's practically saying, I'm done. He says, I've told you everything. Now, do what you wish to do. This is God. And this is how God deals with every one of us. He allows you free will. Yes, it's true. Everything has been set up by Krishna, the matrix. Everything has been set up. And yes, it's true, because we learn in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I know what happened in the past. I know what's going on now. I also know what's going to happen in the future. Now, some people think, oh, if Krishna knows what's going on in the future, what about me? You still have free will. His knowing has no bearing on your free will. Just like I know that after the feast tonight, you're all going to go home. My knowing it has no, it's not that, oh, Narottra said I'm going home, therefore I have, no. You decide, you know, I'm going to go home. My knowing has no effect on your free will. Same way with Krishna. Same way with God. He knows everything, but we create our own destiny. How? By the choices we make. And Bhagavad Gita is pointing out how that works. Throughout Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is explaining, basically, you have door number 1, 2, 3, and 4. Door number 1, the mode of ignorance. Some people choose that. They like that mode. Door number 2, in the material world, that's the most popular in the material world. Why? Because the mode of passion means enjoyment excitement, thrills. Yeah! Let's go for it. Then there's door number 3, the mode of goodness. You don't see much of that on television. Television is ignorance and passion. The mode of goodness means tranquility, controlling of the senses, controlling the mind, foregoing sense pleasures, performing religious ideas and rites, acquiring knowledge. It's not exciting. But then there was another door, the fourth door. That's the door of surrender, the door of bhakti, devotional service. Now, of all the four doors, several times, Krishna says, in my opinion, the best door to choose is that door of bhakti, devotional service. Krishna says, you want to see me? Not goodness, passion, and ignorance. Bhakti, devotional. You want to come to me? Devotional service. You want to understand me, see me? The message is clear. Choose. And at every moment, every one of us, what is life? Life simply means a constant series of tests and choices. That's what our life is. At every moment, we're being asked to make a choice. Should I do this? Should I do this? And even while you are sleeping, the mind is still active. Because the spirit soul is always active by nature. And the spirit soul is always desiring. Some impersonalist schools of transcendence, they try to tell you, kill your desire. It's not possible. You're not a stone. As long as you're alive, you're going to have desire. The question is, what will you desire? Will you desire ignorance? Where people are choosing the weekend. What happens Friday night? You know people like that. Where are they on Friday night? They're in the temple of Tamagun. Bars. That's their temple. And their worshipable deity, alcohol. Some people readily choose that. They look forward to it. And in Tamagun, you also have your dham, just like we have our holy dhams. Not very far away, there is the dham of ignorance, Las Vegas. That's there. Tamagun, ignorance. So, every moment we're making choices. Do I want to choose the mode of ignorance? Do I want to choose the mode of passion? The mode of goodness? Or do I want to choose some devotional activity? Lord Chaitanya is preaching, always choose devotional service. Krishna is saying, you want me? Choose devotional service. But the choice is up to you. Now, there are some key components which influence your choices. One of the key components which influences your choices is your association. Who are your friends? And what are the things that you put yourself into contact with. That will have a big influence on the choices you make. That is why Srila Prabhupada created this temple and all of his temples. Because Prabhupada knew very well, on your own, by yourself, choosing door number 4, devotional service, very difficult. Because there's too much distraction and everything out there is telling you, door number 4? Ignorance, passion. I mean, that's basically what's out there. Well, there's a little goodness, little. But basically speaking, TV, radio, signboards, the whole atmosphere surcharged with passion and ignorance. And we wonder, why is there no peace in my life? You can't have peace in the modes of passion and ignorance. As we say in New York, forget about it. It's not possible. My favorite story. I was in Panama. I was on the 23rd floor. Very, very rich, rich Indian family. I was doing a sermon on Bhagavad Gita. So afterwards, one lady from Hong Kong, Cindy lady, very, very wealthy. Swamiji, can you give me peace? I don't have any peace in my life. She thought I had a magic wand in my back pocket. Ha! Or maybe I had some ash or something. So I asked her, Mataji, do you eat meat? Oh, I love meat. I said, oh, I don't know. Mataji, do you drink liquor? Of course, I like liquor. I said, strike number 2. Then I said, Mataji, do you like to gamble? Oh, that's how we have fun. I said, 3 strikes, you're out. I can't give you peace. You can't expect peace if you are committing sinful activities. 1, 2, 3. Don't, it's foolish. Can't have peace. Peace begins when you are in the mode of goodness and you control your senses. In the Mahabharata, there is another incident. Dhritarashtra is hearing from his secretary, Sanjay. And Dhritarashtra is so confused because part of him knows that what everybody is telling him on the side of the Pandavas is correct. But because of his attachment to his son, he can't tell his son. So Dhritarashtra is in the crossfire. He's so confused. He knows that he should not listen to his son, that he should give the kingdom to Yudhishthira, but he's too attached. So at one point, Dhritarashtra says to his secretary, Sanjay, Sanjay, how come you accept Krishna as God and I have doubts? Dhritarashtra knew, as well did the Pandavas, the things Krishna had done, that he had killed Kamsa when he was just a boy. Everybody knew that. But Dhritarashtra said, yes, I know that Krishna is so superhuman, but then at the same time, he behaves like an ordinary human being. I'm confused. So Sanjaya, I know you have full faith in Krishna. How come I don't? So one of the things Sanjaya said is, you can understand Krishna. You can accept Krishna, but you first have to control your senses. So sense control is very important. That's why when Srila Prabhupada would accept a disciple, they had to vow to follow the 4 principles of sense control. No meat eating, No intoxication. No illicit sex. No gambling. If someone is not prepared to do these things, then no, you're not going to understand God. You're not going to be peaceful. And as we learn in the Bhagavad Gita, how can there be any happiness without peace? So, the choice is in our hands. At every moment, it's up to you what you want to do. And we learn from Bhagavad Gita, we learn from the Vedas, I have nobody to blame but me. Don't blame this guy, that guy, the Republicans, the Democrats. You got a problem? Look in the mirror. That's the cause of all your problems. You've made the wrong decisions in life. It's not too late. This is the beauty of Lord Chaitanya and especially Prabhupada's movement. It's not too late. You're still alive. There's still time left. It may be the fourth quarter, but the fat lady has not sung. There is the story of Maharaj Katvanga. Maharaj Katvanga was an earthly king, but he was employed by the demigods to help them fight the demons because he was a very powerful king. So he had fought with the demigods for a long time. So after the battle, the demigod said to Katvanga, "Thank you very much. We want to give you a benediction. What would you like?" Katvanga could have asked for so many material opulences. The demigods can do that. But Katvanga was smart. He said to the demigods, "Tell me, how much time do I have left to live?" The demigods told him, "You have one moment left." Immediately, Katvanga surrendered to Krishna. He went back home, back to Godhead. It's never too late. Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya are giving us a chance. You can surrender now if you like. But I can't force you. Prabhupada can't force. And we just heard, Krishna doesn't force. But Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda are begging you, please surrender. Prabhupada, lecture after lecture after lecture and throughout his books, please surrender to Krishna. And after this verse that I read here in Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada explains, when Krishna says surrender to me, because that's the verse that's coming up, the famous surrender to Krishna verse, we should not think that when Krishna says surrender, that he has some egotistical, egomaniac reason. Yes, everybody should bow down to me. No. When Krishna says surrender, it's because he knows it is for your benefit. That is also coming up. He will say in the next verse, Arjuna, you should surrender to the super soul in your heart for your own benefit. Anyone who has had children, who has children, you know what I'm talking about. When they were small, so many times you told your children, no, don't do that. It's not good. But you knew what was good for your child. Okay? So, to Krishna, we're his little children. We're all God's little beautiful children. And all he's saying, please surrender to me. It's for your own good. But he doesn't force you. So Lord Chaitanya has made it easy. Lord Chaitanya says, if you want to surrender to Krishna, it's so easy. All you have to do is chant the Maha Mantra. Everybody. He couldn't have made it any easier. But as Lord Chaitanya prays, Durdaivam, I'm so unfortunate, I have no attachment for chanting. That's the biggest sin. So, the final word, the final message, your decisions in life matter. You are creating your own destiny in this life and for the future with every decision you make. Choose wisely. Choose surrender to Krishna. Choose devotional service. Choose chanting Hare Krishna. Before I finish up, I will read the purport to the verse of Bhagavad Gita, as given to us by our eternal friend and well-wisher, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Prabhupada says, the Lord has already explained to Arjuna the knowledge of Brahma-Bhuta. One who is in the Brahma-Bhuta condition is joyful. He or she never laments nor desires anything. That is due to confidential knowledge. Krishna also discloses knowledge of the Supersoul. This is also Brahman knowledge, knowledge of Brahman, but it is superior. Hear the words, yate chasi tata kuru, as you like, you may act, indicate that God does not interfere with the little independence of the living entity is another point. Our independence is little. God has unlimited independence. Sorry, we're not God. I know. I also felt the same way many years ago. What? Yep. You only have a little. Take it up with the boss. But still we have a little independence. As I said, door number 1, 2, 3, 4. That's your independence. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord has explained in all respects how one can elevate his or her living condition. Yes, if you choose the door of ignorance, you're going to go down and down and down. If you choose the mode of passion, good. You'll come back as a human being and start all over again. Got to go to school, got to get a job, get fired, got to do the whole thing. That's the mode of passion. Groundhog Day. Mode of goodness? Oh, mode of goodness, you go up. You get like, I do a lot of flying. So sometimes I get what is called an upgrade. I'm sitting in the economy seats and the stewardess comes, oh, Mr. D'Angelo, we're giving you a complimentary upgrade. Jai Haribo! Because the service in first class is a lot different than service in economy. So the mode of goodness means upgrade, better standard of living. That's very, very nice. But whether it's door number 1, door number 2, number 3, you're still in the material world. But door number 4, you get liberated. you get to go to the kingdom of God for eternal liberation. The best advice imparted to Arjuna is to surrender unto the super soul seated within the heart. By right discrimination, one should agree to act according to the order of the super soul. That will help one become situated constantly in Krishna consciousness, the highest perfectional stage of human life. Arjuna is being directly ordered by the personality of Godhead to fight. Yes, Mahatma Gandhi was wrong. Bhagavad Gita is not teaching nonviolence. Sorry. At least not the Bhagavad Gita that Arjuna heard. Because the Bhagavad Gita that Arjuna heard, repeatedly Krishna says, fight, fight, fight. I'm sorry, I've read Bhagavad Gita several times. That's what he says, at least for Arjuna. Surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is in the best interest of the living entities. It is not for the interest of the Supreme, as I already mentioned. Before surrendering, one is free to deliberate on this subject as far as one's intelligence goes. That is the best way to accept the instruction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is another reason why I'm glad I made the decision to follow Bhagavad Gita. Having been raised in a different religious tradition, coming to Bhagavad Gita, I like this. Before surrendering, one is free to deliberate as far as one's intelligence goes. So back in 1973, I did that. I saw my options in my life, and I saw door number 4, 3, 2, and I saw it all. And what was my decision? My decision was this life. At the age of 23, I am giving to Prabhupada and Krishna. And that's the best decision I ever made in my life. Such instruction comes also through the spiritual master, the bona fide representative of Krishna. And that's the final point. Always keep in mind that the spiritual master is the representative of God. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is pointed out, we cannot visualize the super soul. The super soul, God in the heart, manifests himself externally as the spiritual master. If that is clear, then you will strictly follow the instructions of the spiritual master. And I asked my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, in 1975, what pleases you the most? And he said, when you love Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So I bless you all, I bless you all, that you always choose the right door in your life. I bless you that you always choose the door which leads to Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Thank you very much. Prasadam is waiting for you. And that is also surrender to, that's the right door. Wherever there is prasadam, that's the right door.